Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
On Sunday morning in the Jonah series, we're talking about Jonah actually arriving at Nineveh. And he preaches a five-word sermon that brings revival to an entire city. Five words that move an entire, really what Nineveh was three different cities. We talked about that. It'd be like saying, hey, I'm going to go to Kansas City. You might mean Lee Summit, or you might mean Overland Park or whatever. Nineveh is this large area, and a five-word sermon, because Jonah's not really feeling it, still turns the hearts of the city. And you see in the story of Jonah, and we talked about it on Sunday morning, God's heart for lost people. God's heart for people who don't know Jesus. And you know, tonight we want to talk about, we're in a prayer meeting, and so it's appropriate that we talk about prayer. But we want to talk about, you know, when Jesus called his disciples to pray, oftentimes he'd tell them to pray or tell them how to pray, but he didn't often tell them what to pray. But there are specific times where Jesus did that. And if you're trying to learn to pray and you're like, man, I want to develop my prayer life, but I don't know what to pray for sometimes. Sometimes I'm like at a loss for words. Then it's a good thing to say, okay, Jesus, how did Jesus tell his disciples to pray? And what did he tell his disciples to pray? Amen? Amen. How many of you know the answer is always Jesus? Isn't that right? Like you're in Sunday school and you're like, what's the answer? It's like, if you just yell Jesus, like 95% of the time you're going to be right in church. You're like, I don't know about the eschatology, but I just think Jesus. And you're like, bingo, you got that right. You know, so Jesus is always the answer. And if we want to know how to pray, then we need to look at Jesus for the answer. Isn't that right? And so as we see the heart of God in the book of Jonah, we also need to realize that God's plan on this earth, and we see that illustrated beautifully in that story, is God's heart is to save humanity, but yet he uses people to do it. God's heart is to reach people and to bring his kingdom on the earth. But guess who he's going to use? He's not going to just put up a giant sign in heaven. He's not going to send angels to do it. Guess what? He's going to use you and he's going to use me. God always uses people. And sometimes we can think, oh man, I just wish God would do it. But the cool part is when we actually begin to work with God, when we actually begin to step into his purpose, we find out that that's way more exciting than if he was just doing it on his own. That it's actually a privilege that we get to see God do the supernatural as we step into what he has for us. Man, I am thankful that God uses some people, some broken people, because then I don't have to just live with what I can do, but I can live with what God can do through me as I step into his purpose. Some of you, your Christian life can be so boring. And it's just because you need to what? You need to get out and say, God, I just want to see you do something. You know what? You just say, God, I'm going to just start to walk in your purpose. What's God's purpose? God's heart is for the lost. And man, that's a cool thing. It's a cool thing that God wants to use us. It's a cool thing that God wants to be us to be a part of his purpose. And it's exciting. And Jesus, when it comes to praying for the lost and how the lost are going to be reached, says something really insightful in Matthew chapter 9. And for context, this crowd is gathering and they're coming to find Jesus. And there's a couple of different times we see this phrase in the gospel that we're going to read. One of them, the context, is actually Jesus is like taking his disciples to have a getaway. Nothing worse when you're on vacation and your vacation gets ruined, you know? And you wonder, you know, if you want to know how Jesus would respond when the plans get changed or when something happens, this is where you really see the heart of God vividly on display. Matthew chapter 9, it says this: when he saw the crowds, that's Jesus, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he sees this crowd and then he says, you know what? There's a lesson here. And he says, hey, James, John, come together. I want to talk to you about this real quick. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore what? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, so we need to pray. The first thing we see in this short few verses is God loves people. God loves people. Have you ever, like, I don't know, if you have kids, then you know this. Like, I have four kids, and one of them, Everett, just started flag football. The first time he played offense, he didn't really understand the concept, so he was still chasing down the defense down, you know? You don't do that when you're on offense. He was like, he loves defense. He like just wants to get the bad guys. And that's what I tell him. I tell him the defense is bad guys and you can do whatever you want to take them out, all right? Yeah. It's flag football, it's not contact. But you know, when you have kids and they're doing something like that, I remember the first time I was watching him practice and like, one of the kids started, he was the only kid who was wearing his flags. Uber enthusiastic. If you've ever seen the movie Rudy, it kind of reminds me of that. He's just like ready to roll. He's the smallest guy on the team. You're like, I don't think he has a future in sports, but we'll pray for him, all right? But you're watching him and you're like loving watching the enthusiasm. And he's got his football flags on. He's the only kid out there on practice. And one of these kids, these jokers, I'm watching this from afar and they start like pulling his flags off, you know? And I knew when he was the only one that was gonna happen. I was like, oh Lord, help me not to go do something terrible that I get sued for. So you're watching it and you're just kind of praying for him and you're watching it, you know, and he's playing his games and you're watching it and your heart is bursting because you have like, I mean, if anything happens, he makes a single play. If he gets the ball for 5 seconds, I'm like, yes! You know, and I think everybody else has had kids in sports at our flag football deal because nobody else cheers for the game, but I'm like, you're awesome! Go Everett! And they're like, dude, we just pulled him to the sideline. It's okay. Come. So like, that's cool. Yeah, here, do you need water? You need to be fresh? Because I'm just telling you, like, I crazy love my kids. And I don't know about you, if you have kids, you probably are in the same boat. You crazy love your kids. But we serve a God who loves infinitely more than that. That when he sees people who are lost and hurting, he doesn't just go, oh, that's annoying. I wish they were following me. Or, oh, man, they gotta get it together. Or when he sees you and you're walking with God and you're living for Jesus and you feel like you don't have it all together, he doesn't say, man, I wish they were better at that. Man, I like Everett. It'd be like me saying, man, I'll like and cheer for Everett when he knows more about football, but he's really not that good right now. That's not how God works. God is a God who sees you and he loves you with a unfathomable, if that's a word, love. He loves you deeply. He loves you intimately. He cares about you. You know, tonight early in the service, we reference Psalm 139. He sees when you sit and when you rise. He perceives your thoughts from afar. One verse it says, and when I wake, you're still with me, meaning that God, literally when you're sleeping, is watching you. With anybody else, that would be creepy, but with God, that's kind of cool. He's watching you when you sleep. God loves you, and God has a heart for humanity. And so when he sees lost people, he cares about what they're walking through. The adjectives that are used in this scripture are harassed and helpless. Harassed, you know, you think of sheep, you think, how are they harassed? They, you know, animals are attacking them, or they're just harassed by the very fact they don't know where to go. And maybe they're harassing each other. I don't know if the analogy works for people, but sheep harass each other, right? They bite. And maybe you know some people and you're like, I know exactly the sheep like that. That's how sheep work. And he sees they're harassed and they're helpless, that they have problems and they don't know where to go. They have emotions they don't know how to deal with. They have relationships that aren't working out. They have struggles that they can't get through. They have imperfections that they can't carry. They can't find their purpose. They can't find their niche. They can't find where they're going, and they're helpless because they think they find a solution, and the minute they think they find a solution, they try a solution and it doesn't work out. He sees they're harassed, he sees they're helpless, and he has compassion on them. He doesn't see it as an inconvenience. He doesn't see it as a problem that they need to work out. He sees it as a problem that only he can work out. When God sees people, he loves them. And if we share the heart of God, then our heart has to break for people. We have to go beyond seeing people as a project or something to be fixed or something to be solved and see them as God sees them, as somebody to be loved and somebody to be cared for, even if their response to us isn't what we would prefer. Even if there's an inconvenience element to it, that we're saying, I love them so much because God loves them so much, I'm willing to look past that. Right. He sees people and he cares. And you know what else God sees? In this passage, we see he sees a problem. He sees a problem. Now, I know you're like, God doesn't have problems, but Jesus definitely sees a problem here. And the problem isn't the people coming. You know, oftentimes we can be like, you know, if God has a problem, it might be people being interested in God. You know, I don't know. I mean, it seems like people at work are just not interested in God. Maybe because they've not met God through you. Maybe because there's not a power of the Holy Spirit present there. Because Jesus doesn't say, yeah, the problem is people aren't interested in God. No, he says, you know what? Actually, people need God, and they want that. They want that purpose. They want that life. They want that wholeness. They want that fulfillment. The problem isn't a needing God problem. The problem's a worker problem. The problem's an urgency problem. The problem's people representing light. The problem is, are we getting out there? He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And in a context like this, where we've just been worshiping the Lord and we're in his presence, it's all right for the Lord to stir us with a little bit of conviction and say, am I part of the problem? Am I the one that Jesus would be looking at and saying, you know, there's a lot of people out there that if they just knew, or they just contacted somebody, if somebody got into their world and represented Jesus to them, that would change their life. People I put in your world, it's not a harvest problem, it's a worker problem. And I need you to see that. He brings his disciples and say, hey, see all these people? That's what I want. I'm good with that. Do you see all these people? There's a lot of people out there who need God. A lot of people who are hungry. A lot of people who are looking for the next thing. A lot of people who are looking for comfort because they're walking through a broken relationship. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But he gives us the solution to the problem. He says, yes, there's a problem, but there is a solution. And you know what? As believers, whenever we see a problem, whenever God gives us a burden, whenever God puts a conviction on our heart, wherever God says, this is where I want you to go and this is what I want you to do, the solution always starts in prayer. It always starts in prayer. It doesn't, you know, Jesus doesn't go, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to do a three-pronged approach. All right, and we're gonna start with tier one. That's just get out there and canvas, all right? And then Peter, you're really good at talking, so you're gonna get out there first, okay? And then after that, we're gonna see how many relationships we've built, and then of that, we're gonna build. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, you know what, there's a problem, so what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to pray. He says, he identifies the problem, and then God always works through prayer. He says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're to pray for workers. Pray that God puts a burden in the heart of his people to reach people. Pray that God puts a fresh burden in our heart to reach people. You know, one of the best ways to get a burden for the lost is just to start praying for workers. And you might find that God's like, hey, I found a great worker. It's you.
You're like, I knew it.
But it's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. And the great thing about praying for workers is it's bigger than us. You know, Christianity can sometimes it can become all about us. How we felt, how we experienced worship, how we feel like our prayer life's going, how we feel like we're reading our Bible, how we measure up to somebody else. But I love how Jesus breaks us kind of out of that and says, you know what? You need to pray for workers, all right? You need to pray for workers. It's not just about your neighborhood. It's about the neighborhoods that surround this entire area. It's about the neighborhoods that are in this country. God, send out workers. Lord, reach people. Help your church to rise up and to have a heart and an urgency for the lost, to have the compassion that you have for lost people. God, raise up the people of James River Church to be workers, to be useful. What's a worker? It's useful. Somebody who's bearing fruit. You know, I think it's, I would encourage you, you know, a baby step to that is inviting people to church. But it's even better if you can take it beyond that and say, you know what, I want to invite you to church, but is there anything I can pray for you on right now? You know, because sometimes in the inviting to church, we're taking people on a journey, but you want people to encounter the Holy Spirit. And the minute you say, can I pray for you, and you pray for somebody, most people will say yes to that. And when you do that, you're inviting the presence of the Lord in. You don't have to be able to pray some eloquent prayer. It's not about being over spiritual. In fact, honestly, if you're doing that, that could be a turnoff to somebody if that's not genuine and authentic. What you want to do is you want to pray, Lord, I just pray that you touch this person. I pray that you would speak to them today and they would experience your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. And that you would help them, and maybe they give you a need, and you'd help them with what they're walking through. Amen. And you just go, so nice to meet you. And if you ever want to come to church sometime, you call me, or I'll take you to church, or I'll buy you a latte, or you know, whatever that is. That's a great way to do it. Because then you are a worker. And you are stepping in, honestly, to the most exciting thing that's happening on the planet. And that's the kingdom of God that's being built. And the cool thing about, maybe you're out of the practice of inviting people to church or interacting with people that way, or maybe honestly, and I know what this feels like. You've invited somebody to church and they've said no enough times that you're like, man, do I do the invite again? You know, like, has anybody been there before? You're like, duh, should I do it? And you're kind of waiting it out and you're feeling it out. I just want to encourage you, maybe in that's the perfect place to start for re-energizing your prayer life when it comes to lost people. And saying, God, send me. God, send me. Because God knows the moments that people are walking in. God knows there's an openness. There are moments of openness in people's lives. And the question is, are we looking up and are we saying, God, I'm available. I'm available for you to send me. And that starts in prayer. Because the worst thing in the world is to be in a message like this and hearing it and being like, yeah, I need to reach people. And then you go home and you have your bowl of cereal and you go to bed. That's what I do. And then, or you watch Netflix or whatever, and then you wake up in the morning and you're like, you kind of forget about it. And then you move on. And then the next sermon comes up, and I could mess my hair up more for this, but then you won't take me seriously in the altar call. So. There we go. I had to get my part down. What were we talking about? No, I'm just kidding. So, Jesus says, you know what? You need to pray for this. Pray the Lord of the harvest sends workers. Now, when we hear that, we can think, oh, this passage, it's about laborers. And it is. We need to pray for that. But notice what the passage is about. the heart of the passage. He sees the crowd, he has compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says what? Everybody say it. Is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the to send out laborers into his harvest. Whose harvest is it? What are we praying for laborers into what? The harvest is who? That is the people God wants us to reach. And he says they're ripe and they're ready. Man, I don't know about you, but it kind of gets me excited when I read this. Not to just pray, God, send me out, but to say, God, I think I'm making this a little bit harder than it is. I don't know about you, but I think I'm making it a little more complicated because I think if I just get my heart ready, that there's somebody already ready for my heart to be ready. Does that make sense? There's somebody already waiting for just somebody who's led by the Spirit of God to step into their world and say, you know what? Jesus loves you. You know, I don't know if you found this with reaching people, but it's you can say God loves you all day long. You say Jesus loves you, you've taken that to a whole nother level. Anybody with me on that? God loves you. Whatever God you serve, he loves you. Honestly, that's why it's inoffensive. Because you're not really telling them anything. The universe loves you. You know what I'm saying? I believe in God. I believe the universe. The universe spoke to me this morning. But honestly, that's where a lot of people are at. So when you say generally, and you don't really step out, you're not helping them. But if you say, God, I'm willing to step out, I'm willing to identify with you. And honestly, that's not to talk you down at all, anybody, because I can only tell you that because I know it. I'm like, gee, God loves you. I'm a pastor. It's a pastor confession, all right? I've done it before. But you feel it and you're like, why didn't I want to say that? And it's because I don't want to offend them. But what if... what if they're ready? What if all they need is real? What if all they need is relationship? What if they're ready? And our heart is to say, God, if they're ready, we need to be ready, and we need a lot of people to be ready. And God, we want to get out there. And God, obviously, it's way more exciting than I'm making it. Because I keep thinking they need to be ready. But you're saying, no, that's not it. You need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be a church that's ready. That when people walk in the door, we're ready. That when we're out in the community, we're ready. And that we're praying, God, raise up this church because you've called it to reach the lost, to reach the lost. Help us to be ready. Send us out as laborers into your field, Lord Jesus. Help us to be ready, God. Help us to be urgent in Jesus' name. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to practice what we just heard in the scripture. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for two things. We're going to pray that God puts an urgency in our hearts as believers. And the musicians, you can come. That God puts an urgency in our hearts as believers. That God sends us out. That you begin, and the people who you know are Christians in your workplace, and the people you know at the church, begin to see their workplaces differently. Begin to see their workplaces like Jesus. Because, you know, sometimes when you're in a work environment where it's not a believer, there aren't very many believers around, you can get tired of the backbiting and the gossiping, and you can get tired of the constant profanity. I don't know what kind of work, you know, it's that kind of thing. But honestly, pray tonight as we take a moment and pray. God, help me to see them as you see them. Help me to see that they're just lost. And that's not the lost isn't like a, they're lost, poor souls, derogatory or patronizing term. Lost is like anybody who doesn't have God. If you ever walk through something where God helped you, you ever walk through something where God guided you, you ever walk through something where you like, if I did not have God, I would not make it through this. If I didn't have the hope of heaven, I don't think I'd want to go anymore. But we have that, and they're walking without it. God, help me to see them like you see them. Help me to see them like you see them. Lord, send out workers. Lord, my workplace needs more people who are believers, who love you, not so I can be comfortable, but so we can reach people. God, open up the hearts of people. God, give me boldness to speak today and open up people's hearts. Give us boldness as a church to speak today and open up people's hearts. Prepare the table. God, if we get ready, Lord, I pray that you put the ready people in front of us. I pray that we begin to see people as different, as hungry, as hurting, and not be looking just for the moment where somebody says, yes, I need Jesus, but looking for the moment where we can bring Jesus to them. Say, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you today. That's a big deal, and I care about that. But I believe Jesus is going to come into your situation when I pray. You watch what God does in your life. So can we stand right now? We're going to open the altars. But urgency starts here with us saying, God, we want that. We need that. This is not a passing moment of conviction, but this is a moment where, God, we want to have your heart. We want to have your heart, Lord. So come on, step into the altar, and let's fill this place with prayer. Ask God to send workers out. Ask God to touch his church, and let's pray for a revival in this area, a revival in our country, as God answers our prayer in Jesus' name.